pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we are ready to roll here on what usually is the last day of February, but not this time around. Good afternoon. Welcome in. We have a lot planned for you over these next 4 hours, and we're going to begin telling you that football is here. Yes. Camps are opening around college football, especially in the SEC. We'll talk about some of them. In fact, two are already open. A number of other ones will start next week. So we've already seen a couple, as you can tell. How about Alabama? Alabama opens next week. Arkansas, Florida, that's one everyone waiting for. How about Georgia opening later? And Ole Miss, what's Lane got some beach time before 3:19? Anyway, that is the entire list. Texas and Texas A&M starting later as well. A lot of schools start early in case somebody gets hurt. They have a chance to get them back in store. Somebody who never is bored with the opening of camp is Andy Staples. He once attended a camp or two. I don't know if he saw the end of the season, but he began the camp. Andy Staples from the Andy Staples Show on 3. Andy, how long did you last in that camp?
Not very long. Human tackling dummies, listen, the best thing you can do is not get knocked unconscious and have some starter trip over your lifeless body. And I think I succeeded on that front.
Well, you were potentially a great player.
Never was going to be potentially a great writer. But then I stopped doing that too, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I remember the good old days. I could not wait to read the Andy Staples column, and now... Why would you go into hosting a talk show? It just seems so...
There was this guy who used to write the Fire the Coach column for the Birmingham Post-Herald.
Yeah.
And I heard he made a lot of money going into TV. So I figured I'm going to try to follow that path.
Oh, Pat McAfee. I knew he had done something that I missed. Andy, let's get started with camps because there is so much going on. But these are cliche questions, but I'm going to ask them anyway. Treetop, what are you watching for?
Kalen DeBoer. I mean, what is Alabama going to look like under not Nick Saban? That's going to be fascinating. And I like this hire. I know when Caleb Downs and Caden Proctor went in the transfer portal, it was a little bit of panic mode. Obviously, the amount of staff he brought from Washington did not turn out to be what they thought it was going to be. So how well does this staff mesh together? But I mean, we've wondered for so long, what would Alabama look like and consequently, what would the rest of the SEC look like if Nick Saban wasn't coaching at Alabama? We're about to find out.
Yeah, and I think you were being charitable because his coaching staff today does not look the same.
No.
As it did on expected to look on day one. But beyond what we see on the field, he gave an interview today with someone, and he said he doesn't curse. And I'm like going, is this guy for real? I mean, a football coach in the SEC that doesn't curse?
Well, Gus Malzahn didn't curse. Like, Gus Malzahn has all these different words. I visited him at UCF last week, and there were some gall derns and gosh dangs. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He doesn't cuss, but he gets mad and uses these kind of euphemisms like cuss words when he's mad, which I would have a hard time not laughing. So like Kalen DeBoer, when he's that, I'm curious, is he just so verbally creative that he does not need any sort of quasi cuss words? Can he just wither you with saying I'm disappointed in you? I need to know this now because, you know, I've talked to him a few times and he comes off as alarmingly normal for a very good college football coach. And I always, having dealt with a lot of coaches in the SEC, it's like, this guy is enough of a psychopath to succeed.
By the way, for all of you on social media, Andy Staples just called Kalen DeBoer a psychopath.
I did not. I said, is he not enough of a psychopath? I
did not hear all that. We've already tweeted it out. It's too late, Andy. You'll never be able to walk that back. By the way, I wonder if Kalen DeBoer is like some people who show up in church on Sunday morning and and feign religion. Do you think he curses maybe privately? He just doesn't do it publicly, or do you think he's the real deal?
If you're a college football coach, you're going to cuss if you cuss.
Okay.
Like Will Muschamp.
Yeah.
Proudly curses. Uses the F word as every part of speech. He's great at it.
He was good. I know I'm getting off script here, but it sounds like an Andy Staples show question. But if you had to rank your top five cursers of all time, where would you start?
Well, Muschamp's number one.
Okay.
For sure. For sure.
That's the only list he's going to make in terms of the coaching world.
Hey, fine defensive coordinator. Let's not besmirch the good name of Will Muschamp.
You're right.
But he was tremendous at wrapping the F word around pretty much anything that needed to be wrapped around. I try to think of some of the other ones who've just been. I don't think there's anybody on his level. I feel like he's a Hall of Famer, and everybody else is kind of Hall of Famer.
By the way, Kirby Smart's not bad.
Oh, he is good. I will tell you that those leaked locker room speeches, which I'm sure Kirby totally disapproves of and doesn't want out there, they are tremendous. And Kirby, I think, has a better sense of when to use it and when to throw it in there. Dan Quinn, Washington Commanders coach, is one of those guys where he just kind of slip it in there, kind of where it doesn't even belong, just to be throwing it in there. I don't know that he's necessarily one of the, because I don't know that he's using it strategically enough. Like, it's one thing to pepper, like, Muschamp may have used the F word a lot, but it always had a reason. There was always a reason for it to be there, whether it was a noun, an adverb, an adjective, or a participle.
I was once, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He's an offensive line coach. He used to work for, he may have worked for Saban at one point, but I was at an Auburn practice one day. I think he was on Terry Bowden's staff. And this guy, MFing everything, right as a group of ministers had walked by. And it was one of the funniest things to see this. He was from West Virginia, too. I'll think of his name in a minute. You may come up with it. But anyway, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. This is when you could actually walk around to practice.
Oh, Rick Trickett.
Rick Trickett.
Yeah, you were talking about Rick Trickett?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rick Trickett, ex-Marine, very small guy, very deep voice, and yes, would get at, and then the hat. He was a big hat guy. Like Stacey Searles, who's at Georgia, is known for throwing the hat when he is upset. Trickett was more of a pull the hat off and whip in the general direction of what he's mad at, but also with the F-bombs.
But I mean, he wasn't head coach, but I would rank Rick Trickett, now that you've reminded me of who it was, he's definitely a Hall of Famer for an assistant coach.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I regret the omission. And he's got sons who've gone into coaching. I hope they inherited everything from dad.
Let's get to the two newcomers to the SEC. The spring and summer will be a lot of previewing Oklahoma and Texas. We don't see them on our screen here, but they will sit. Oh, there they are. March 11th and then 3/22. So what about OU and Texas? Starting at Oklahoma, that's the school that people are a little bit concerned about.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a long discussion on my show yesterday about that win total. All the sports books put out the win total, and it's 7.5, which I felt like is extremely low, because like you look at the history of the University of Oklahoma football program, there's one kind of down period. It's the mid to late 90s, basically, where Barry Switzer's gone, they had the Schnellenberger time, and then the Blake time. But after that, and before that, all they did was win. Like, the only other program that's been as consistently good is Ohio State. And so I have a hard time not giving Oklahoma the benefit of the doubt. When I see a 7.5 win total, my instant thought is over, over, over. And you look at their schedule, it's tough. And it's interesting because you talk to the OU folks and they're like, okay, well, that first SEC game is Tennessee at home. Gonna win that one. It's at home. Then it's at Auburn. You're going to beat Auburn. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Do not assume that you will walk into Jordan-Hare and win. So, lot to look at with Oklahoma. New coordinators on both sides of the ball. Jackson Arnold ascends as the starting quarterback. Now, he was kind of the one who was chosen. He was the five-star recruit. Brent Venables comes in, lands him, and they were working with him and Dylan Gabriel last year. You had to make the decision. Do you choose Dylan Gabriel, who has one more year of eligibility, or do you go with your five-star guy who has probably a higher ceiling and more eligibility remaining. They went with Jackson Arnold, and we will see if they were right. Now, that Alamo Bowl, you saw him where he flashed some pretty impressive skills, but also committed some pretty bad turnovers like a true freshman might in a bowl game. So how much better does he get in Seth Luttrell's offense? What is Seth Luttrell's offense versus Jeff Lebby's offense? Those are the questions we need to see answered.
Andy, we had a guy on yesterday, a guest who had been in Gainesville and at Spurrier's event the other night, and said that he felt, based on the vibes, we're now talking about Florida football among vibes you get at Spurrier's restaurant.
I was there, so I can attest to any vibes that this person might have felt.
Well, let me ask you then, because we'll push Griff off to the side.
It was Griff. Oh boy.
You live there. What are you picking up? Because Griff had a very positive vibe about what was to come.
As usual, Mike Griffith has misread the situation. the vibes are apathy. Those are the vibes.
Okay.
It's beyond anger, and it's moved to apathy, and it's kind of wait and see. And it's interesting because you had this Florida fan base that I said it a lot, but I understood it. I thought they were overly critical at times. I thought they were expected too much at times when they were getting mad over 10-win seasons, getting mad over 11-win seasons. That was probably too much. But I don't have a problem with them being mad over a 6-win season followed by a 5-win season. Like, they should be mad about that. But I think they've moved past mad into some sort of resignation, which I don't think that's good. If you're Ben Sasse, the president of Florida, I don't think you want to see that. And you've been on the job less than a year, and you've got this apathetic fan base, because when they're mad, at least they still care. Like, you need to get them caring again. And Billy Napier is in a tough spot because he has to figure out how to get better against the toughest schedule in America. And here's the thing. I've seen people say, well, if it's 5-7, then you might give him another year if they're a little bit better because they're playing tougher. No, if it's 5-7, they're not going to give him another year. It has to be better than that. You can't just keep having losing seasons at the University of Florida. It has to be better. So they better figure it out. And, you know, you look at the way they recruited. They got DJ Lagway, the quarterback. But here's the thing. Graham Mertz is the starting quarterback right now. Graham did a good job last year. They need to fix their defense. I'm not sure they've fixed it. They lost Princely Emmanuel into the transfer portal. You know, they bring back Shamar James. They've got some good pieces, but is their talent net better than it was last year when they went 5-7 against a schedule that isn't as tough? And I don't know if the answer is yes to that.
Well, of all the things that we talked about tonight, the thing I'm most pleased is that you set the record straight on Griff.
But Griff and I go way back. So he hired me as the ringer on the Knoxville News Sentinel softball team back when I covered Tennessee in the early 2000s. So I wrote for the Chattanooga Times Free Press, so I should not have been eligible to play, but they needed somebody else that night. And I think I might have hit a home run. So you're welcome, Griff.
And by the way, the thing I did not realize, and I should have because of his boss, but I did not realize that Rick Trickett, who was mentioned earlier, is currently employed at Jacksonville State under Rich Rodriguez.
Well, of course, two West Virginia guys just chopping it up in Northern Alabama.
Rick Trickett has had a fascinating career, and I didn't mean to give him all this attention tonight just because he is a good cursor. But he is...
He probably appreciates it, Paul. I promise. I remember he was at Florida State under Jimbo, and I think he took some pride in the way he motivated the young men.
I mean, Rick has coached at West Virginia. He has been at Mississippi State, Auburn, LSU, West Virginia again under Rich Rod, Florida State under Bobby and Jimbo, and now... I mean, Rick's got to be in his late 70s, doesn't he? I'm just trying to do the math.
Listen,
here.
The man's in great shape. Yeah. He had a push-up regimen every day that I'm assuming he's still doing that would kill most 20-year-olds. The guy, not to program your show or anything, Paul, but the guy you need to bring on, because now we've opened this can of worms, he was Cole Kubelik's position coach.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what happened, huh?
Yeah, Cole was a fine offensive lineman. And doesn't cuss that much on the air, so that's perfect.
Yeah, no.
He still figured it out.
Yeah, no, Cole was probably out there playing the day that I was roaming the practice field. Andy, great to have you on. And for nothing else, to give Rick Trickett one more shout out before he retires. Andy Staples from the Andy Staples Show on 3. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls are right around the corner.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, what an amazing game that was. I mean, State came back after losing a big lead, and then it ended right there. This is what it looks like, and Tennessee and Auburn meet later tonight. We'll talk about it a little bit later. That's what the competition looks like, and Kentucky has come back from the dead. Tough loss for Mississippi State. Ole Miss, A&M on that NCAA bubble right now. Christy Dosh on the Sports Business World. The coach! Andy, no, not Andy, Coach Carl Reed and Ron Slay in the final hour, getting ready for a busy Wednesday night of college basketball. And your calls, and we begin with Andre. Good afternoon, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you.
Listen, Coach, it's 77 degrees here in Atlanta. The grass is turning green. We got pollen. The trees are blooming. And people say there's no such thing as global warming, Coach. Listen, Coach, we probably have 1.5 weeks of cold weather here in the South, in Atlanta anyway. And that's it, Coach. But look, when are you going to move the show from Charlotte down here to Atlanta, Coach?
You know what's funny? About 6 or 7 years ago, somebody down there tried to bring us there from the Hall of Fame, and it came up. It got out in the media, and but it never happened though.
Well, you know, you can let the college world know that the College Football Hall of Fame is over in Atlanta.
No, that's where we were going to do the show. and for the record, Andre, I was 100% in favor of it.
Well, I mean, Coach, you got plenty of money, so you won't have a problem finding a house down here.
Well, it's not a matter of finding a house. It's a matter of finding employment if I make that move.
But don't you insist on moving the Paul Feinbaum Show to Atlanta? Hey, what would ESPN say? Okay, Your Honor, what you want?
Well, you know, I'm not one of those favored nation guys where they can do the show from wherever they want. I'm still just an hourly employee. I go where they tell me to. Would you be willing to move, Randy? Randy will not move.
Well, Randy, we got to cut your random pink slip. That's all.
It was nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Jamari, you ready to move?
Yeah, Randy. Yeah.
Jamari's from Atlanta, so he wouldn't have a hard time finding. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Atlanta.
Can you get me a job?
Well, we can get you a job here, Coach. The Feinbaum Show just going to move here.
Yeah.
That's all. Listen, I was listening to the guy yesterday describe Jim. I like Jim personally, but the guy say Jim's an old man and he wears suspenders and a Boston Red Sox cap. You've never met him, Coach?
No, I have talked to him on the phone a few times, but right. I've never met him. And I've offered the invitation too when I've been in Tuscaloosa privately. I wasn't going to subject him to I-Man right. and all the other people, but he's never wanted to meet. I wonder why. And Andre, I wonder why.
I'm not going to go there with you. I'm not going to take that bait, Coach. I won't bite on that. But I like Jim. But anyway, I thought I'd ask you about you all moving the Fine Bomb show here to Atlanta. What does ESPN think about it, Coach?
Here's the deal, Andre. ESPN does not exactly ask my advice on things.
Well,
they have a beautiful studio here, and this is where they have told us to do the show. Hey, Andre, I spent most of my career in Birmingham. Do you think I wanted to move?
No, you didn't.
Correct.
I'm sure you did, but you know they say money don't talk, it screams, Coach. So, hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach Feinbaum.
Thank you very much. Daryl is up next in Baton Rouge.
Hey, good afternoon. How you making out, Paul?
We are doing great.
Good. I went and got a haircut today, man. I'm looking fresh and clean.
So how long does it take you to get a haircut at the shop?
Oh, it takes a good while. That's the only thing I got left is a full head of hair.
Okay.
Hey, I want to give you my five top callers. In a bracket, if I was making a bracket, just on my own personal opinion.
Of course.
But before I do that, if it's all right, I want to talk about Jim and Crazy John from St. Louis. Jim wasn't going to call back, but it didn't take him long to call and cursing and carrying on yesterday.
Oh, man, I wish you could have heard the uncensored version of Jim for all the talk that Jim, all the religious talk that Jim, we hear from him. The audience didn't hear it, but we heard it here. We heard it, Randy, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Not exactly being his brother's keeper.
No.
And then was it Ray that called in and said he knew him and dropped an old Lincoln of whatever?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and said he's real skinny, nursing home people, and Boston Red Sox hat. I wonder why he wears that hat. No telling, huh?
Ted Williams.
Oh, there you go. And then John from St. Louis talking about he donates thousands of dollars to Missouri basketball. Did I hear him say that?
Yeah, I mean, that's great that he gives thousands of dollars, but that's not exactly where the action is these days.
No.
Well, how can he give thousands of dollars if he's a security guard out of prison?
I don't know.
Not unless he was a black ops military guy and went in and found a box of money one day in one of these countries they were working in. That'd be about it for me.
Daryl, who are your top five, Daryl, before we run out of time?
All right, here we go. Number one, legend. Why legend? Well, he's real smart and he knows a lot about sports and he knows a lot about athletes. It's almost unfair. You know, the guy ought to have his own radio show, really. You ought to take him out the bracket because, I mean, he's going to run away with it. Number two, I-Man. Why I-Man? I-Man makes some compelling calls when he's not being a Bama hater. You know, like yesterday, he made a real good call talking about Crazy on the front porch, where he's put Crazy out on the front porch. I like that. He's all right. Number three, Squirrel. Why Squirrel? Squirrel calls it like it is. He's an honest caller. He calls it like it is. He's down to business. Number four, Handsome Joe. Why Handsome Joe at number four spot? Handsome Joe's a nice guy. He's kind of like the guy you'd love to have as a neighbor. And he makes some good points when he calls. And he tries to keep everything fair and square. Number five, Larry. Why Larry? Larry is the guy that lives his life the way he wants to live it. You know, he just does what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And when you can understand him when he's not too drunk, he makes a good call. And that's my top five based on
what. Well, Daryl, thank you very, very much. I think it's interesting that Daryl, who's a big LSU guy, did not mention Dwayne, the biggest LSU fan of them all. We'll take a short break. We have a couple more hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. It's been a busy one so far. Let's get to the calls. And Swamp Dog is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Doggy.
Yeah. Since we're talking about a top five list, I got a top five list I'd like for you to get a comment on. I was watching ESPN this morning. And they had it was between Stephen A. Smith and Mad Dog on there. And they had an A-list of the top toughest five sports to play on their show. And I agree with four of them. One of them I don't agree with. Stephen A. agreed with me on that. One of them don't include, and shouldn't be in it. I'd like to get Jim from Tuscaloosa to come in and comment about this, since he's an expert on all these sports. Would have been a professional at all of them.
Well, I got bad news for you. He quit the show again.
I know he quit, but he'll be back. He always comes
back. He did. He did take time out from his hiatus to call in and tell me to F off yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that. He called you a SOB, too.
Yeah, he called me an SOB, and then when we bleeped him, he said, F you. I'm just a simple man. But that's just not very brotherly, is it?
No, it's not. It is not. But let me ask you about this list real quick. I'd like to hear your opinion of this. All right. They had the top five hardest sports to play.
Okay.
This is Mad Dog's list. You started at number five. I'll go with number five first. Football.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Okay.
Number four blows my mind. Curling.
Yeah.
Curling.
Mad Dog's not from this world.
Yeah, well, I agree with the top three.
Okay, what else did he have?
He had tennis at three, golf at two, and baseball at number one. I can kind of go with that. I know how hard those sports are to play.
Yeah, every sport is different. To me, golf is a completely different type of sport. The only thing that bugs me about golf is it really a sport when you can drink a beer and smoke while you're playing? Yeah, I guess that's true. John is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, and I like the opening interview with Andy Staples. Who knew he was? You were his guiding light for his career path.
Yeah, that's sad.
I know. And by the way, Griff only had a positive vibe on Florida because Billy Napier finally attended the annual Steve Spurrier Awards.
Yeah, John, have you ever heard? And I don't. Have anything against Spurrier. I think everybody knows how I feel about Steve, but hey, I mean, you always think about what are the premier events on the calendar. You know, in the spring, it's March Madness and the Masters and the Super Bowl. To Griff, it's the Spurrier Awards.
And nothing
that
else.
That is like the Oscar, the Grammys, the Tonys, and the Pulitzers all wrapped into one.
In his own mind. Hey, I'm going to discuss the future of the NCAA, get your thoughts. But first, if you don't mind, I have a response to that call from yesterday. Paul, I respect all your callers and realize Jim, much like John from St. Louis, suffers with IED. And I don't mean improvised explosive device, but what I referred to earlier as intermittent explosive disorder. You know, that's where you have an impulse control disorder and lead to what I would call frequent explosions like temper tantrums and tirades, and always out of proportion to whatever the discussion or perceived provocation is. But with Jim's IED episode yesterday, where he called you that lying SOB and who knows what vulgarity was censored out, I think he was both insulting to you and us, the listeners. And I think we need a minimum level of decorum, and he should at the very least apologize or not call anymore. Your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, I've never cared about apologies, especially when they're from fake people like him. Thanks for the call. D is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Bo.
Hey there,
Paul.
D. Yes, sir.
Hey, I love your show. I got a comment about your bracketology on your callers.
Okay.
The bracketology thing.
Is your dog upset not to be in there?
Yeah, my dog always upset when the dog.
What type of dog do you have?
He's a lab.
Really? Didn't sound like a lab.
But anyway, the comment I got, I don't mean to be derogatory, but the problem is with your 16 callers is none of them have an IQ above 16.
Well, see, what if I responded?
You can respond. Well, I'm a reasonable person.
Wow. Hey, listen, I need to think about that one, Dave. We're up against a break, too. We will come back, let the lab bark, and we are back with more right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Dwayne is calling next.
Hey, Paul, finally let that jackass man insult your callers, huh? Why didn't you tell that man something?
What would you want me to tell him?
You should have told him something. You're 16. A man said you're 16 callers from Legend at number one. On down to 16, don't have a high IQ higher than 16.
So where do you think you rank among the best callers, Dwayne?
I'm the best. I worry about that man from Baton Rouge. That man ain't hitting on nothing, Paul Fine. But that man told you the best five caller. That man from Baton Rouge is a hater. He a hater. Yeah, we're going to run him out of Baton Rouge, too.
Dwayne, first of all, he's really, Dwayne, he's a really nice guy. I like him. What makes you
like
a good
him.
What makes you
I
a good
you
caller?
Like that man.
I mean, you
what,
maybe
what's the reason you like him?
Maybe you're the
what
loudest
the
caller
like
on
him?
The show, but what makes you the best caller?
What makes me the best caller?
Yeah.
I tell the facts. I let you know what's happening. I let you know what's going on. I let
you know
what's
Dwayne,
going on.
Dwayne, hold on one second, Dwayne. What about the time Don Staley took your manhood away?
The chain taking down, you can take it anytime. That's my baby. That red
she,
thing.
She
there.
Literally cut them out and put them in a box.
Hey, that red thing there, she could do anything. She could do anything. That red thing there. Yeah. I'll follow her to the moon.
Yeah. Well, she wouldn't follow you anywhere.
How you know? You don't know that.
I do know.
You don't know
that.
What that going through that woman's mind?
Yeah, I do.
You don't know that?
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, she got
Dwayne.
Another woman.
Dwayne,
you don't like men?
I'm trying to help you, Okay.
Yeah. So what's up? Talk to me, Bomb.
First of all, you're not the best caller.
I know. Hey, I ain't say I was the best caller.
Do you think you're in Jim from Tuscaloosa's league?
Yeah, I got Jim beat. No, Jim go off on you. No, I don't have him beat. He cuss you out. Yeah, he tell you what's happy. Yeah. I got nothing on. I don't do that to you. Hey, I respect you. I don't get down like that, but Jim don't give a damn about you, Ball Pound Bomb. He cuss you out like a dog. Yeah, the man had that mutt in the background. Tell him what kind of dog he had. He had
By the way,
that
was no lab. That was a Chihuahua lab.
Yeah, you know that. You know damn well what that was. That was a mutt. That was a mutt, mixed breed mutt. Dad, he should have told you that. Tell me that was a lab. That man lied to you. Paul Feinbaum, don't believe it. Don't believe that. That Mike.
Hey, Dwayne, do you have a dog?
Huh?
Do you have a dog?
Yeah, I got a dog.
What kind?
A Belgian. I got one of Belgian dogs.
You got a Belgium?
German Shepherd. Yeah.
What are you doing with a Belgium?
How much I paid for my dog? Hey,
I said, what are you doing with one of those type of dogs?
I paid $3,000 for that dog. Dude I work with. He breed dogs. Dude also. You got to breed.
Why would you pay that much money for a dog?
Because I like it. Okay. I like the dog. And the police got him. when I bought them, I know a dude worked for the sheriff department that trained police dogs. So I took it to them. I took it to him.
But he got it sounds like to me the dog that's a killer dog.
You come around me, you find out. You mess with me, you find out. You find out.
I knew what kind of dog you'd have.
Then the AK gonna get you. He gonna get you, and the AK gonna get you. Now, which one you want, the dog or the AK?
Okay, Dwayne, you have completely failed at everything you tried to accomplish here today. Jason is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom. First time caller. Glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
I would like to tell you that briefly that I started watching you in '89, the day before the Iron Bowl on Rick Carley's sideline show.
And, oh, yeah.
I've been following you ever since.
Well, thank you very much.
The other juicy topic is I am Jim Tuscaloosa's third cousin. And point of fact, I've never met the man, but my daddy grew up in Coker, which is a town right outside of Tuscaloosa. And he's a few years younger than Jim. And he kind of,
how old is Jim?
From what my dad said, and my dad passed away a couple of years ago, I think he's like 73 or 74. So, yeah. And, like I say, I had a lot of rage and anger when I was younger, and, which he uses his real name when he talked to me, but he would say, you're going to turn out to be just like Jim. And, it was a guidepost for me all these years because what he had told me before I even knew about him on your show was that he was pretty talented as a baseball player. And when he was in youth league and junior league, he did pretty good. But then my dad said once he hit puberty that he got all this rage and hate like I much have when I was younger, and he couldn't be a good teammate, and he couldn't take criticism or coaching, and he just fell apart as a young talented athlete.
So Jason, would you say when Jim told me one time that the Dodgers and the Phillies tried to sign him to go play AAA ball, that was probably not true?
No, sir, it is not true. He probably could have got to that goal if he had put in the work and
he didn't though.
But you're saying he never even played high school ball. No. No, I think he got kicked out for not being a good teammate.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.